This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Maybe you've been thinking about therapy. You realize a therapist could help you work things out, but
I can't afford it. Therapy is expensive.
Talkspace is different. Talkspace is one of only a few online mental health providers that takes insurance. Average copays are only $15.
I can afford $15.
And most insured members pay nothing.
Nothing? No copays at all? With insurance, I could see a therapist and I might not have to pay anything out of pocket?
That's right. Nothing should stand in your way of getting support from a caring, licensed therapist. And if you don't have insurance, no problem. You can pay out of pocket for a lower cost than in-person therapy. And because you meet your therapist online, you can schedule appointments for whenever and wherever it's most comfortable for you.
Wow, I'm feeling better already.
You can pay for Talkspace with insurance or get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi guys, and welcome to our mini-series of Deep Dives, where we will discuss topics that we may have touched upon in the past, but with this mini-series, we will be taking a deep dive into those topics. And today, we will be looking at religion. So, religion, it's so powerful and has been around for centuries. It has brought many people together, as well as divide many people, to a point where some people have just turned away from it altogether. So join us at the table today as we enter this intense world of religion. Welcome back, guys. So, religion has been around pretty much since the beginning of time and the dawn of mankind, and is still here and going strong. With extremely large sums of the population belonging or identifying with one religion or another, these numbers are in the billions with a B. And with only a very small portion of the world's population identifying as atheist or agnostic. So, to put that into perspective, there are expected to be approximately 7.9 billion people across the globe, out of which 84% believe in a religion, 7% identify as atheist, so they don't believe in God or religion, and 9% that don't believe or deny God or religion. These people consider themselves to be neutral, so they don't side with religious beliefs or religious people or the belief in God or gods. So those people are considered agnostic, because nor do they side with the atheists that they outright deny God or a higher power, nor do they side with the religious people in their beliefs.
So that's interesting, Dims. You say religion. Now, but people may have a narrow view of what religion is, and that may be secluded to the Abrahamic faiths, which is Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. But religion also includes Hinduism, Sikhism, Buddhists, people who worship the sun.
Yeah. So that So though Abraham sort of, those sort of religions you just mentioned, they believe in one God. Whereas Hindus, I think Buddhists, they believe in many gods. So those figures of the 84% combined is all religions, whether it's...
All religions.
Yeah. So it's Hinduism, Buddhism, like you said, all sorts of different faiths.
Yeah,
just
I would...
Believing in the idea that there is a higher power, basically, or I powers.
I would agree with those figures. What would be interesting is from my idea, I believe what areas of society or globally where they're from, I'm thinking the West has a higher percentage of atheists, and it's the East and maybe the poorer countries that still have a high belief in religion.
Okay, so it did not break down those figures in a geographic way. So I think you might be right. But it kind of brings me on to my first question here, which is, by the way, like they say, the $64 million question.
That's
why?
True.
Well, okay, for you maybe because you're so rich. Why are we here? What is the purpose of life?
Oof.
Getting right into it here, lads.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, you've really dived in the deep end straight away, haven't you? It's not taking this slow at all.
Yeah, you know, so yeah, no point beating around the bush. It's like, so okay, you can argue that this religion's right, that's right, they're right, they're wrong. Okay, why are we here?
So.
What's the purpose?
Muslim-wise, Islamically, this is a temporary, a conduit. It's a test of our character, and what we do here is marked and then decides our eternal life. So that's religiously speaking. So that's from, I was born into a Muslim family and I was raised with Islamic beliefs. Moving through time, getting older, going to school.
Yeah, but why are we here? What's the purpose? So what? Okay, you're born in a religious family. I get that. Okay, but why are you? What is your purpose?
So like I said, it's a conduit. My purpose is, this is a test. Your, what we say, mortal life is a test. So I'm being tested by the Lord. And I need to gain a certain number. Think of it as a game. You play a game, you get enough points, you win. Don't get enough points, you lose. You win, you go to heaven, that's your eternal life. You lose, now, Islamically speaking, I mean, one of you can correct me on this if it's not, but you don't really lose, but you get punished. So you will, don't get enough points, you'll serve a time in hell, and then you'll move on to the eternal life. Me personally now, since I've been through life, thought about things, have my own independent thought seriously and totally, I believe we're part of nature. Now, we're part of an ecosystem. You know, there's a food chain. We're at the top of it at the moment.
Okay. So what's your purpose to be, what, food?
Yeah. We're part of an ecological system. So if you look at everything, everything works off of one another. Like now that certain species are dying off, certain bad things are coming in their place. An entire system is built by making sure everything with checks and balances.
I think as a human species, we're more advanced and capable than just being food, just being part of the food chain.
And that's one of the issues with the current human nature. We are outstretching our reach.
Yeah. You see, the problem I have with that is, so the other side I'm looking at with the atheist side, for example, the scientific side, it's, I think, at least religion answers that question of why we are here. Like we have a purpose, like you said, it's a test. You pass or fail, get judged, etc. But science doesn't seem to have a valid, in my opinion, answer to that question.
No, so science's answer is basically part of a food chain to keep the checks and balances. So taking a species into, as an example, let's say you've got, I'm trying to find a really simple one, but I can't think of any simple one. So I'm just going to go with.
You don't have to think of a simple one. You can think of how it all began. So let's go there, the Big Bang. I mean, like, when have you ever heard of something being created by a bang? Things are destroyed by a bang, and for it to be so almost perfect, like there's systems in place, it's sort of astounds me that people think there's no creator, there's no power behind it, it was all by chance. Like, how can it be so perfect just by chance?
But it wasn't just a Big Bang, was it? And it wasn't just like that. This, so apparently the Earth is billions of years old. So if it's billions of years old,
it's very old, by that way, yeah.
We've not just turned up. It's gone through many, many changes.
Yeah, so I'm going to the beginning. So they're going about the beginning. So before, so when the universe was created, so they say it was matter and antimatter. So even before Earth was created, it's that Big Bang that sparked. So antimatter and matter collided.
Yeah. So at the center of the universe. So at the center of the universe, there was this Big Bang, and the universe is still expanding. And then all of these planets are being created. But I'm going to say, I can't say whether it did happen or not. Scientifically, they just say it's a Big Bang.
Yeah.
Why not explain what came before that? What ignited the Big Bang?
Yeah, exactly. So they say it was matter and antimatter, which collided, right? That's what I've read on that. So, okay, fine. So who put the matter and antimatter there? Where did that come from? Was it just there? And then it collided, and all of a sudden, and then for it to collide, for everything to be so perfect, that's why I sort of take issue with it. I'm like, well, how can you not believe that there's something behind this, like a power, like an intelligent, superior being, far more intelligent than ourselves, i.e. a creator?
But then why create such evil people?
Well, it's like you said earlier, in some faith, this life is a test. So the evil people are here to test the other people.
So what's going to happen to those evil people then?
Right. So I
if
don't...
they were here, if they were here just to test, were they made evil? So then are they going to be given the eternal life of happiness because they were made to test? Or did something happen to them to make them evil, or didn't they follow the religion?
They didn't. So it's good and evil, isn't it? It's a fight. So they follow the devil.
Okay. Yeah.
So they've gone down the wrong path. They'll pay for their sins. So yeah, I mean, purpose of life, you know, it's difficult to answer. And it is that, you know, you've got to be a good person, you know, try and earn your way into heaven. Worship God, worship Allah. That's what you're made for. There's also something about community. There's also about helping others, you know, and that's religious aspect as well. Help thy neighbor. These days, a lot of people are losing sight of that. There's a lot of narcissism around. It's all me, 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 me. If you look at the West especially, there's a lot of crime. There's a lot of hate, envy. There's a lot of godlessness in people's lives. So maybe they could do with a little religion or faith to learn something, maybe.
And another thing, the most important thing in religion is not just about trying to gain rewards for heaven, but it's your personal connection to your Lord. Because at the end of the day, you're not doing it to show off in front of others. You're doing it to worship your Lord. What will your Lord be happy with?
Well said. So yeah, I suppose on that, I just round that off by saying, love thyself, love thy neighbour, love thy fellow man, woman, etc. So okay, let's try and summarise this. Okay, so I want you guys to finish this sentence off. I mean, we could start with maybe Niz here, also not here from so much here, but okay, so. The purpose of life is to
be part of the process of earth. Or food chain, yeah.
Right, process of earth, no? That sounds better. So?
I've only got, yeah, the purpose, purely because obviously this is my viewpoint as a Muslim, is to worship the one and only Allah, because that's what we're here for.
That's the first time I've heard that from, it's the first time I've heard it be put so clearly.
Why?
What? That it's not about trying to get your 40 virgins. It's about literally.
It's 70, wasn't it? Were you cutting 30 out for?
No, I was told it was 40 virgins.
It was 70.
Well, I was told it was 40 grapes, but you know what? I don't like that one. So, but yeah, no, that's the first time clearly put down. No, your only purpose is to pray to do the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not about seeking your reward in the afterlife. So that's good, Sol.
You're welcome.
Why do you think people convert, or as Muslims would say, revert? So for those of you that may not know, convert means to change from something, and revert means to go back to the original thing. As Muslims believe that all humans were born as Muslims, and if they went through the journey of life being a non-Muslim, whether that's because they adopted a different religious belief system, or even if they disbelieved altogether, at some point through their own journey, if they decided to become a Muslim, Muslims will call that revert instead of convert, as they believe you will be coming back to what you were originally born as. As they believe we are all the children of Adam, or Adam Islam, and they believe that Adam was a Muslim, as literally the definition of the word Muslim is the one who submits his will to God, which is what we all believe Adam Islam did. So, going back to my original question, why do you think people convert, or as Muslims say, revert?
So I think it might be they either see something beautiful in it, or they see reassurance, or it answers questions that they have. You know, I believe that religion gives people a foundation, a reassurance. It helps them mentally to understand their place. So it saves them from depression. You know, it's helping their mental health, basically. And they see something that they like.
But it's not without its problems, because I know a few reverts I'd say. And they tell me how their sort of family stopped talking to them and disown them. So they have to go through quite a bit of struggle. So it's not an easy decision to make. It's a life changing decision. And then obviously you may think you've found the light and you've seen the way, but not necessarily everyone around you has. So just because you feel a certain way, to them it's like, and a lot of people say this to me, that I've reverted, that their family members think they've been brainwashed when they feel like they've been enlightened.
Yeah, and it depends on which society and group you've been brought up in, because you will either fall for you can never go against your parents or your family because it's seen as disrespectful. Now, I'm saying that from a Pakistani cultural upbringing. The way your family's in Pakistani culture anyway, you're told you never disrespect or go against your father's word. And it's very difficult.
Come on, Sheikh Sol. I'm sure you got something to say on this.
Sorry, bro. That's a hard question. I can't even answer that. I think when you talk about revert and convert, it's due to one fact. It's up to Allah Ta'ala himself Aziz will, who he wants to be a Muslim and who he doesn't want to be a Muslim, because it's in his hand to give hidayah.
Okay, so here's an interesting one for you. So what happens when the laws of man and the laws of God conflict? Which laws should you follow if you are a both religious and a law-abiding citizen?
So from an Islamic point of view, my understanding is that if you've moved to a land where Islam is not practiced or is not the law, then you do have leeway to practice the law of the land where you are. But if that law encroaches on your ibadah, on your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is another country or land where you can go and fully practice your religion, then you must leave. So when you're saying, do you follow the law of the land or do you follow your religion? Religion gives you leeway up to a point, and then when you can't, if there is a place where you can go to practice it completely, you move. Buyaksha.
Yeah, so I think that's more extreme. That's where there's not even conflict. They're actually, you're forbidden from worshipping, for example, and or you can't even do your daily practices. In that case, you've got to move. There's no choice.
Yeah.
If you want to follow the religion says move, like go where you can worship. Your thoughts, Sheikh Sol?
First and foremost, I'm not a sheikh, bro. Don't call him a sheikh.
Okay.
Secondly, yeah, very similar to what Liz has said, but obviously that's the most extreme point of view. Not in a bad terminology, let's get that phrased right. But yeah, the law of the land compared to the law of, you know, God, Allah Ta'ala, and that the law of Allah is always going to outrank the law of the land to me personally. You know, that will always come secondary or not important.
Yeah.
Because
you're a practicing.
Yeah, practicing Muslim. Yeah. Not just that, because he's put in places where, I mean, Islam is a way of life, as they say. It's how you act, interact, how you be as a person, human being, so far. It even tells you techniques of how to go to the toilet, for example. Even minute stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's a complete way of life, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly.
To sleep, make your food.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What you should eat to make sure that you have a healthy body, which also in turn gives you a healthy mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what would you say to people that disbelieve in God and reject religion altogether? Again, you're going to say it's up to, and that is up to Allah Ta'ala, but you hear as people, and there's a thing called dawah, which is incumbent on most Muslims to spread the word. So what would you say in that?
Yeah, case? Allah's not said you don't do it. You must do it, but Allah's already made final, a decision. Yeah, yes. Exactly, yes. Yeah. You have to still try. But I mean, maybe Saul can enlighten us a little bit further.
Yeah, Saul. So what would you say to someone that disbelieves in God and rejects religion?
Like you said, dawah is the most important aspect as well, because that's about informing people that obviously Allah Ta'ala, God exists. But again, I think the way I look at it is, if someone's not willing to meet you halfway, how are we supposed to get them to believe in God? Because there's people don't want to listen, and
it's about spreading your knowledge or what you know, isn't it? It's not about, you don't try, like you said, and there's a misconception about Islam, especially that it was spread by the sword. When
no, that's incorrect.
That is incorrect. Would you like to elaborate why that's incorrect?
Zionist media.
Yeah, propaganda. Yeah,
propaganda. That's it, propaganda. Okay, yeah, exactly. Let's go for a safer word than propaganda.
Yeah. Propaganda.
We don't want the Zionists to shut down the show even before it started.
You know what? You can fuck off back to space. Like literally. Right. So, oh man, keep it recording. So Zionist, okay. No, okay. Please got me saying now. Propaganda, propaganda. Okay. Yeah, propaganda is a bad thing. So Dawah, I think that's just you doing your bit, isn't it? It's just you're not trying to convert or revert a person. You're just telling them what you know.
It's not just about share. You're informing the truth, isn't it? You're actually telling, just like the duty that was sent to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know. Just like everyone else. I mean, we're not gonna get any more prophets. So this duty belongs to every human being, not just as Muslim, to spread the deen, saying that everyone should worship Allah and no one else, because that's the truth. You want the truth to be spread as much as possible. And then at the end of the day, you leave it in Allah's hand. You do your best and then leave the rest to in Allah's hands.
Okay, now, hold on to your seats, guys, because it's about to get deep. You're all dead. So the fact of life is that we are all going to die one day or another, without any exceptions. So what do you guys believe happens when you die? Also, what do you think people who either believe in many gods believe happens? For example, which god will judge him? Will they be judged?
So this is a really interesting one. So we've talked quite a bit about Islam and the Abrahamic faiths, where there's a heaven and hell, and your eternal life is judged based on how you practiced your mortal life. Right, so that's the Abrahamic faiths. And now, many gods. I mean, the only one I can think of is the Hindus, but they believe
in reincarnation.
Reincarnation, the circle, the circle of life. I guess the circle of life touches on atheists as well, but I'll come to that in a minute. So the circle of life. So you're reborn again as something, and I'm not sure about this, but is it your next reincarnation is based on what you did in the current life? So depending on what they class,
yeah,
their animals in hierarchy or their character in hierarchy, you might end up as a little insect to maybe...
Yeah, so if you were Creed and you come back like a little worm or a spider or, yes, or vermin, but if you were like a pious person, you come back like a bird or, you know, like eagles or something, something of that nature.
And then from the... atheist point of view, and I think this is a Buddhist point of view as well, because the circle of life thing, I'll touch on the circle of life, the Buddhist point of view. So what they have is so this is where your nutrients, you know, you're part of planet Earth and it provides, and there's something in, I think it's Tibet. No, it's not Tibet, but it's around there. And they have something called the sky burial. And what that is where they...
I'm sure you mentioned this in a previous episode.
Yes, I believe I mentioned it in our hosts at the table.
But but go on, refresh my memory.
Yeah,
anyone missed that.
So what they do is when someone passes away, they would take them up to a very high place. They're in a mountainous region anyway. They take them up to a very high place. Someone would chop the person up into bits, bite-sized bits, and then just leave them out for the vultures, the birds. But that's...
Is that bad?
No, that's... Because remember what I said, nutrients. The human body, the human body, what do we do with food? And I'm talking about not humans as food, you know, cannibalism. I'm talking about food waste. I mean, I recycle mine anyway, so I recycle it, put it into a compost, heap, and then it biodegrades, which creates the compost. And if you do the same with a human, it's the same thing. You know, you decompose, and when you decompose, your body's made of loads of minerals and nutrients, and that's soaked up back into the earth. So that's what they do. They feed the birds. So it's a circle of life. You know, you're giving nutrients, you're giving food to someone else. And with the atheists, I mean, they won't feed someone to a bird or an animal. They'll bury them. I mean, they didn't used to always bury them in caskets. It would just be in the ground. Your body would decompose. That would become nutrients for the soil. So, you know, you've got quite a lot of different beliefs about life after death. But this is the most interesting bit. So that's what happens to your physical being, your body. But what happens to your soul? Soul?
Soul. First and foremost, I think we haven't really covered this topic. After the janazah, and we are buried, we get three questions asked. Who was your Rabb? Who did you follow? Like, you know, who's your prophet? And what was your religion? So those are the three questions you get asked. And obviously...
So this is in the grave, right?
This is in the grave, yeah. This is when you're in the grave. So obviously, if you can answer those questions, then you'll have a so-called peaceful... you have a more of peaceful in the grave. So, you know, you're not
life in the grave.
Life in the grave. That's what I was saying.
So Muslims believe there's a, but you don't just straight go and get judged from heaven to hell after you die. There's a period of where you're in your grave, and depending on what type of person you were in terms of your deeds, it's either going to be a pleasant experience or a not so pleasant experience.
A torment, or you'll be tormented.
Torment. For... This is prior to being judged by the Almighty.
Yeah, so you'll be like this until the day of Qiyamah, you know, the end of days. So that's that'll be a long time. It depends on, might be a long time, might be short time, but depends on day. Depends on when the day of Qiyamah is, you know, the end of days.
Qiyamah is in Judgment Day, yeah.
That's it, yeah. So there's that. I don't think we touched that topic. The soul, I'm not sure. I think it's
your soul or the subconscious that's in the grave. I believe
your body's there, but you're detached from it.
Yeah. I believe I heard the imams say your body is just a mortal vessel.
Yeah. So the vessel remains behind. That's going to rot.
Your mortal vessel is left behind, and your subconscious, your mind, is what's taken into the afterlife.
Okay.
But that's the Islamic point of view. And I'm not too sure with the other two Abrahamic faiths in Judaism or Christianity what they believe in. It's most likely going to be similar.
They're quite similar.
And then with in the Hinduism, you know, we've already talked about this reincarnation. So your soul passes into another mortal physical being. And in Buddhism, well, your journey's ended, and then your physical self is given as food.
Okay, then. Speaking of journeys ending, I think we'll leave it right here.
Why?
Yeah, so like I said, I think we should leave it right here. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I think I will speak for everyone here at NSN when I say we shall apologize in advance if we offended anyone. That was not our intention. We do not ask anyone to share or agree with our viewpoints or our beliefs. We just ask that you respect them, as we respect all other religions and non-religious viewpoints. We may not agree with them, but we do respect them, as everyone has the freedom to believe and follow whatever they wish to do so. So, with that said, we hope to see you next week for another great episode But for now, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.